This is the first of the cell talks that I'm preparing. Finally, thank God, I've gotten the grace to get the things down on paper and I'm ready to record them today. For these next few teachings, we're going to be looking at a book called The Prayer of Jabez, written by a Protestant minister named Bruce Wilkinson. A lot of times people say they believe in miracles. But what is a miracle? The word from Latin is something to look at. We get the word admire, admirable. A miracle is something to look at, something to take notice of. I would hope that St. Catherine's parish would be a miraculous parish, a parish that people would take notice of, a parish that would be something to behold. We should all hope that our lives as Christians would be miracles, something to take of, something for other people to behold. Now, how do you make a miracle happen? Well, there really is only one way, and that one way is through prayer. When we pray, we can make miracles. We can make lives and parishes and communities something to look at, something to behold. How does that work? Well, when we pray, and when we pray regularly and consistently, we begin to get God's perspective on things. We don't pray to convince God to see things our way. We pray, and we come into God's presence, and we enter conversation with God so that we can begin to see things in the way God sees them. If we continually do that, it puts us on God. Excuse me. If we continually do that, it puts us on God's page. And all of us as Christians should want to be on the same page as God. I think one of the best ways to pray for miracles is the prayer of Jabez. You will find that prayer in the first book of Chronicles in the Old Testament, chapter 4, verse 9 through 10. These two little verses are hidden away in a genealogy, one of those long, sometimes boring lists of so-and-so begat so-and-so begat so-and-so. Of course, they're boring, probably because we don't know who so-and-so and so-and-so was. They're not our ancestors. But I'm sure that to the people of Jabez's day, the lists and the relationships were very interesting. Amazingly, in these several chapters of genealogy, we find these astonishing two verses, and I would like to read them for you now. Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother named him Jabez, saying, "Because I bore him in pain." And Jabez called on the God, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed, and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain." So God granted him what he requested. What's in a name? Well, we all know that we have names that were given to us, sometimes named for some relative in the family or some favorite name of our parents, but then there are the extra names that are added to us. Pretty Eyes, Blondie, Red, Fat Boy, Stinky, Sassy. Sometimes they're pleasant names. Often enough, they're names that pick on some foible, they pick on some outstanding aspect of who we are, perhaps one of the less desirable characteristics we have, and make the most of it. I recall some years ago when I was teaching in a high school, I met one of the Maris brothers, older brother, and he was a worker brother. That means he hadn't been given a college education, he wasn't a teacher. And he told me in a bit of a French-Canadian accent, he was from New England, upper New England area, "Oh yes, I was the oldest of 10 children. I wasn't very smart. I was pretty stupid growing up. And so I entered the brothers and they put me as a worker brother." I'll never forget thinking this poor old brother with a big heart, a great love of children, used to work every summer in their summer camp and all year long was making handcrafts and things for the summer camp. Yet he walked through life carrying this name in his head of stupid. Of course, God's point of view is not that we are stupid. God's point of view is that we are chosen. We belong to Him. We are His beloved. We are called to a life of holiness. We are called to friendship with Him. The name Jabez means pain. It was a constant reminder of the difficulties his mother had in bearing him, in bringing him to the light of day. Perhaps it was a long pregnancy, perhaps it was a difficult labor, perhaps it was a high-risk labor. But in any event, he carried this name with him into his adult life. You can just imagine having somebody call you Payne. Payne, come on and eat. Payne, go wash up. Payne, did you clean your room? Payne, Payne, Payne. And yet, Jabez, Payne, found a way to pray himself out of this sort of negative beginning. Over our next few teachings, I would like to take the prayer line by line and examine it. The first line, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed." To bless someone means to speak well of someone, to favor them, to honor them, to bestow gifts, to give them status. We should seek blessing. We should seek God's favor, God's honor, God's bestowal of gifts. We should seek His blessings. We should seek all that God wants to give us, all that He has, so that we can be all that He means us to be. We should not seek to become all that we want to be. For example, in the Old Testament, Abraham had been promised the blessing of a son. He had been promised that he would be made of that God would make of him a great nation. Abraham was an old man. His wife Sarah was an old woman. And he wanted this blessing so much that he decided to try to make it happen on his own. We can read the story in chapter 16 of the book of Genesis. At the push of his wife, Abraham had relations with his wife's slave girl named Hagar and bore a son, Ishmael. But Ishmael was not the blessing that God had intended for Abraham. And as a matter of fact, as you continue reading through the book of Genesis and the rest of the Old Testament until this very day, we see that Ishmael was never a blessing. Why? Well, because Abraham wasn't on God's page. God was going to give Abraham the blessing of his own son with his own wife. Well, how do we know that we're on God's page? How do we know that we're asking in the right way? Well, there are 7 points to be sure when we're asking for God's blessing, when we're asking for His favor, His honor, His gifts, His status that He has planned for us. The first point is, we must have a right motive. Is this about God, or is this about me? Am I asking for these things because I want to build myself up? Because I want to see myself get ahead? Am I asking because the center of my life? Or am I asking because I want what God wants for me? I want to be the person in the place and doing the things that God wants. The second point, we need to ask according to God's will. How do we know God's will? Well, first of all, from a study of the Scriptures, from a study of the Word of God. We need to understand what God's general will is for all human beings. And besides that, then what is God's general, what is God's particular will for me, given my name, or my age, my person, my circumstances of life? What does God want for me? Thirdly, we must be seeking first the kingdom of God, as Jesus tells us in Matthew's Gospel. We must seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. The prime desire of our heart needs to be to receive God's salvation, His grace, His forgiveness, to seek His kingdom rule in my life and in the life of others. The fourth point is, we can have no love for the world and its values. When we were baptized, we rejected sin. We rejected the glamour of evil and refused to be mastered by sin. We rejected Satan, the father of sin, and the prince of darkness, also the prince of this world. We must have no love for sin, no love for the world. The fifth point, we must not just be seeking blessings for ourselves, but blessings that we can share with other people. God never blesses us just for ourselves alone, but He blesses us so that we can be a gift for other people. Sixth point is, it must be the desire of our heart to bring God glory and honor. God gives us His blessings so that we can bless God. so that we can have our favor and honor, so that we can exalt Him by the way we live our lives. And seventh, we must have the desire to be in a growing relationship with Jesus. God gives us His blessings so that we continue to grow in love and friendship with Jesus. Let me illustrate this from my own life. One of the blessings I ask for is to be a good preacher. I ask for the blessing that when I preach, God will touch the lives of the people I hear. And this is a blessing that I'm sure God wants to give me. Well, now, how do I know that? Well, first of all, the motive is right. If I want to preach well and to touch the hearts of the people that God has entrusted to me, to be shepherded and to be cared for, that certainly will be what God wants. It will bring them into a relationship with God. I'm a priest. God has called me to this task of that. That's God's will for me. That's God's vocation for me. And part of the task of the priest is to preach, to clearly explain the Word of God to God's people. Thirdly, I'm seeking first the kingdom of God. The work of my preaching, the work of touching hearts, is to bring people to salvation. And once they found salvation, to keep them in that relationship with God and forgiveness. The fourth point, no love for the world and its values. Well, that becomes a question of what am I preaching? Am I preaching the gospel? Am I preaching what Jesus values? Or am I preaching the world? It's not just asking something for myself, but for others. Of course, my preaching is a service to others. It's also a service to, as I have to prepare to preach, as I have to find the Word of God and encounter the Word of God, I myself have to change and grow. You have to walk the talk, as they say. And so good preaching, touching of hearts, is my heart touch first, but at the same time, a blessing for others. Will my preaching bring God glory? If I touch the hearts of my parishioners, if I touch those entrusted to me, yes. And of course, if I'm going to have the blessing of being a good preacher, then I have to have a deep relationship with Jesus. I have to have a spiritual life that is healthy and that is growing. Now, what would it be if I were to say, Dear God, make me a great preacher. Dear God, make me a preacher as famous as Archbishop Sheen. Dear God, give me a church where thousands and thousands of people will come to hear me. Dear God, give me a place on a TV ministry so that everybody in the country will know who Father is. Well, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that God doesn't want that kind of a blessing, because that's not a blessing about service to God. It's not a blessing about touching lives and touching hearts or seeking the kingdom of God. It's about me. It's about putting me forward. That's such a very dangerous thing for us in any kind of a Christian walk, is that we put ourselves forward first. Our 7 points again. If we're asking for God's blessing, we're looking with right motives. We want to ask for God's blessings according to His will. We want to be sure that we're seeking first His kingdom and His righteousness. We do not want love for the world or the values to be a controller in our life. Our asking for blessings is not just to serve ourselves, but to serve others. We want to bring God glory, and we want to be in a continuing relationship with Jesus. What blessings need in your life now? Really need in your life now? Do you want to be all that God wants you to be? What does He want you to be? Some of it's very clear. If you're married with children, He obviously wants you to be a good spouse and a good parent. Are you asking Him specifically for the blessings you need to be a good spouse, to be a good parent? Where does He have you in the work world? Are you a banker? Are you a stay-at-home mom? Do you own a business? Do you have employees under you? What are the responsibilities and the circumstances you find yourself in? What specifically does God want from you? What specifically do you need from God to fulfill these things? The process of asking and receiving, or asking and not receiving, helps to clarify for us what God wants us to be and what God wants for us in our lives. Our job is the prayer to become a miracle Christian, a Christian with a life to look at, to imitate, begins with asking, Lord, bless me indeed. I would like to offer you 5 questions now for your own thought and discussion in your cell group. Did your family regularly ask for God's blessing besides the prayer at food, bless us, O Lord, in these thy gifts? What do you consider to be God's greatest blessing in your life? Who in your life would be the best example of a person enjoying God's ongoing blessing? Have you ever received a no from God in answer to your prayers and came to see later that it was a blessing? And if Jesus came to you and promised to bless you with all that he has to give you and to transform the world, what sacrifices, what would you be willing to give up for these blessings from God? Next week, we'll talk about extending God's territory and extending our territory. Thank you.